drinking?
No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy. I'm getting another beer, you want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
Okay, welcome to Big Homie, BigFoamyHead.com. Big Homie.
That's right. Big Foamies for all you homies.
BigFoamyHead.com. This is our Christmas show, show 21.
Show 21. And it's also our year-end report for all the analysts.
Big Foamy Head has,
that's right.
We had their tax accountants come in, and they did the annual review, and
the numbers
had
are in.
Extremely profitable year.
That's right.
With our corporate sponsors and our advertising revenue streams, and then of course there's the Big Foamy Head sportswear.
That's right. That's right.
Banner year for the Big Foamy Head.
I think the Big Foamy Head bikinis were my personal favorite.
Well, the models, they really did a bang up job when they
that
came
does.
In.
Yeah, that helps. So but we've got
we had all this weird profit stuff.
Yeah. But that's where we got to break the news.
Yeah, well, they wanted taxes on that.
Right.
So we went ahead and took care of that.
Yeah, because if you don't have any money, you can't get taxed.
Right, if you're in the red, you can do that for like a bunch of years.
Right.
And nobody needs to know any difference.
No,
so.
That's right.
So what did we do with the money?
We reinvested it into ourselves in a liquid asset form.
That's right. We did research.
Yeah, we bought beer. we bought a lot of beer.
Specifically, basically, we've been on the road.
Yeah.
So I was in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Dick was in Indiana.
Yeah, Indiana.
Indianapolis.
And then we had our joint trip
to
California.
Irvine, Newport Beach area.
And
Orange Coast, DOC, for those of you who watch.
Orange County.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good stuff. And so we've had a lot of beer in a lot of places and have plowed the revenues back into the R&D arms. That's
so,
Rick and Dick. That's the R&D.
I get it. So our staff that were looking forward to their year-end bonuses, forget it.
Yeah, there's no bonuses
here.
There's
no profit sharing.
As a matter of fact, you're all getting a pay cut.
Yeah, that's right. You're losing benefits.
That's right. So we have had a lot of good beers, visited a lot of good brew pubs, and we mentioned one of them, the Atlanta trip. We mentioned the Broadwater Brewery and had some of theirs. And so
Sweetwater,
sorry. We're now going to get into.
I went to a brew pub there. I was going to go to Sweetwater Brewery while I was there, but I got violently ill, so. That didn't
that
happen.
That was the airport barbecue incident.
That was the airport barbecue.
Yeah.
But before I got sick with that, I didn't make it out to Max Lagers, which is a really nice brew pub there in Peach Street in Atlanta.
Peachtree Boulevard. Is that what it is? Or is there a town? I know Peachtree is the main
Peachtree drag. Peachtree Street.
Yeah. Right, which is a huge, long street. Runs all of Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Peachtree Boulevard.
Downtown.
Kind of like Poplar for here.
It was actually a place that was off of Marta's stop, which is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to have to drink and drive.
So you were drinking and bussing.
Well, drinking and riding the train.
Okay. Yeah. On the train.
So what I did is from the hotel, I got a hop to the airport, and there's a Marta station at the airport, and I just took that to Peach Street and went to the brew pub and didn't have to worry about how much I sampled. So I went ahead and oversampled.
Yeah.
And ate there as well.
Okay.
But
and that was the first spike in the accounting review where you hit it hard.
That's where we started to hit the profit margins there.
And so this place was met favorably?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Now, one of the complaints I have, we're going to review at least three brew pubs today.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them has had a stout on tap.
Right. And that's something that you would think that there would be something. Now, I know one of the pubs that we're going to talk about, and actually I'm going to throw a fourth one in that did have a stout on tap.
I didn't get to go to.
The Indiana one, and I mentioned this place before, the Broad Ripple Brew Pub in Indiana. They did have a stout on tap. It was very good. I don't think I've had a bad beer there. But to your point, a lot of the brew pubs, I don't know whether it's more difficult or costly. I know it takes a little longer to produce some of the stouts, but you'd think that there would be a little more stout action, especially during this time of year.
Yeah,
the it's a warmer beer. Yeah. It's a you know a beer you drink to warm yourself up.
So one of the things I did not have at Max's was a Imperial Mocha Oatmeal Stout, which sounds really good, but they didn't have it.
Mm. Were they out or just who knows?
I don't know. Yeah. I just have an unhappy face next to that.
Okay.
And then
so you by that time you weren't even able to write. You were doing pictograms.
Well, basically, if I was sending an email to myself, it would be an unhappy face. And another one I did not have was Max Lager's Imperial Mocha Oatmeal Stout. That sounds extremely like what I just read.
It does.
Oh, it is. It's the exact same thing.
Okay.
But what I did have, I had several Max Abbeys, which were really nice, smooth Belgian.
Well, that's pretty good. They're getting some Belgian beers or Belgian style beers in.
And it was a Max Pale. It was a West Coast style India Pale Ale, which I put very good in my notes.
Okay.
So.
And this is Max.
Max Lagers.
Okay, Max Lagers in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. Apparently they have two locations, but it's a really nice brew pub. Okay. Excellent food also.
Okay.
And then they also had Max Gold, which was a Bohemian Pilsner-style lager.
Hmm.
Okay. Didn't really do much for me. And then Max Red, which was a Vienna-style lager. I tried it. Didn't do much for me.
All right. Well, I wanted to read something. I'm digressing, but this is topical. And we were going to do a section called You Need a Beer for people who have had such misfortune and bad luck that they could really use a beer. And your comment about the train. In this past November, Parker Houtling, 23, was standing on a station platform in Poughkeepsie, New York, and was hit in the head when he leaned out just a little too far over the tracks as a Metro North train was arriving.
Smacked
him right in the head by a train.
Okay, that's a pretty dumb thing to do.
That's real dumb.
That's something you'd only do once in a lifetime, right?
Well, you would think, but the Poughkeepsie Journal reported that Houtling was similarly hit by a New York City subway car in 2002 when he leaned out too far. And yes, he was hospitalized both times. So
I would think he's brain damaged at this point.
Probably by the first one, so he did it again. So Parker, you need a beer, buddy.
All right.
Well, why don't we take a minute and we'll listen to some music, and we're going to come back. And since this is a Christmas show, we've got some Christmas beers. We're enjoying one of my Christmas beer. You heard about it on several shows ago. I put it up, the Apricot Pale Ale.
We unveiled it. And what do you think of it?
Let's. I thought it came out very, very nice. It's a I used a pale ale kit. And I put in 2 pounds of apricots, one pound in the primary, one in the secondary. It's light. It's got a little bit of haze to it, which I expected.
A little hazy, very golden color.
Yeah, very pretty color. It's got an apricot goldish color to it.
It's got a wonderful fruit head a nose to it, I think.
And it foams up nicely. I've drank most of mine. I still got foam. And it tastes good.
I'm enjoying this.
It's a good all-around beer, which is what I wanted to do.
Well done.
And the unique thing about my beer is the bottling, which we're going to talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something special. And Rick's Christmas beer, his...
Double chocolate
oatmeal framboise
raspberry
stout, or it's that good beer that we talked about before. He brought some over to have this special packaging done. So we'll talk about that. And we've got a couple more from our friends at Rogue, Santa's Private Reserve Ale. We've got some Marin Brewing Company, Happy Hoppy Holidays Ale. And from Harpoon, we've got their Winter Warmer. We'll be trying some of those. So let's take a minute, and we're going to listen to Candy Cane. And Candy is a very robust blues singer, and this is a song we can all relate to, I'm on a Bender.
All I want to do is feel good all the time. I'll do whatever it takes, and that's the bottom line. Small
That was Candy Cane. I'm on a bender. And we have cracked open the holiday beer here from Marin Brewing Company, the Hoppy Holidays Flavored Ale. And
what a nice surprise.
Yeah. I mean, it was like I took a drink and I said, wow, this is something else.
Okay. This is brewed and bottled by Marin Brewing Company. Larkspur, California. Contents 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces.
Mm. It's 22-ouncer.
7% volume,
yeah.
Or alcohol.
7% alcohol. So it's a stout, strong beer, rather.
Won lots of awards.
Yeah, a lot of awards.
But listen to this. Our traditional Christmas ale, brewed with pale, wheat, caramel malt, and Munich malts, and hopped with Magnum and Styrian Goldings varieties. Delicately spiced with cinnamon, nutmeg, mace, orange peel, and pure vanilla extract.
Yeah, and it is spicy. It's a spiced Christmas beer. I mean, it's like my eyes went open when I had this. This is a very good beer. I took it upstairs and let my wife try it. And
who doesn't like beer?
No, it all tastes like bile. And she she tasted this and says, that's spicy. She says, I like this beer. I was like, man, there's the seal. That just surpassed every gold medal they've ever won on this beer.
Yeah,
if you can get her to enjoy a beer. So we're liking the Hoppy Holidays. Very good beer. Definitely something if you're wherever you can get this. I purchased this particular beer at the Beverages and More store, so I'm going to assume that you can pick it up there.
And I'm feeling a little guilty for our tens of local listeners that we're drinking all these beers that we don't have access to.
Yeah, I know. Well, suck it up.
I feel sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the advantage of having the big foamy head corporate jet. We can go to these different places and try these beers. So all we can suggest to the tens of listeners is, you know, do your best to thumb a rod, take a bus, take a subway train, but watch your head. And get you some diversity into your beer life.
Or join us in the studio.
Join us in the studio. Come on by. It's at the Big Foamy Head building.
Corporate office.
That's right, at the corporate office. And just come on by. 9th floor. There we are.
Okay.
All right. So we are enjoying that. We're going to talk a little bit more about the brew pubs. I had referenced the Broad Ripple Brew Pub. I talked about it before. I went back again when I was on a trip to Indianapolis, and once again, they were excellent beers, excellent food. This time, I was accompanied by one of my doctor clients, and so we sat at a table instead of bellying up to the bar. We had the Scotch eggs, which are wonderful. Those, for people who don't know what those are, they're hard-boiled eggs wrapped in sausage and then fried, deep-fried. So it's perfect beer food and served with ranch dressing to dip it in. And we also had – they have an extensive menu. They do something kind of nice that we saw at a couple of brew pubs here. They have guest beers, which I think is a very clever thing for folks to do.
Now, I didn't know what that was until you explained it. And it's
right.
And then, other than the brewer
come in
and maybe use their brew equipment or have their own brew equipment.
Exactly. And I had the Firecracker Ale, which was one of the local brewers, had won some awards recently, and the Broad Ripple folks invited him in. They had him brew some beer, and it was very nice. That was also one of the few brew pubs that had a stout on tap. We had it. It was very good. I recommend anything there. It's an exceptional place. It is in a very eclectic neighborhood in Indianapolis.
Now, you said that's one place that if you were going to open a brew pub, or that is your ideal of what a brew pub ought to be.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's got something for everybody. There were families there. There was a different kind of rooms that you went into. There was a bar at the back, kind of in its own little closed-off rooms, kind of a sports barish feel. A lot of the locals were parked at the bar there. And then in other rooms, there was families, and it had a nice scenic view of the railroad tracks and the Broad Ripple environment. So it's a very good place. I highly recommend it if you're in the Indianapolis area. It's a little difficult to get to.
Now, I have to ask, did they have any beers on tap other than their own?
No.
Okay.
They did not.
Sometimes you find that, sometimes you don't. I sort of like when – I understand they've got 50 barrels of their own beer that they want to sell. But, you know, maybe you have a Bud Light guy with you, you know, in your group that isn't going to like it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, that is, if they don't want to do that, then they're going to need to drink water or learn to drink a real beer. And apparently, though, Indianapolis is a little more sophisticated than other places. Directly across the street – is a beer supply store.
Oh, okay.
So I know they don't have to go far to get all their ingredients, and I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't.
Probably the same owner.
Yeah, it could be. But they've been around for a long time, consistently voted number one brew pub in Indianapolis, and very good place. Highly recommend it.
I would have liked if at some of these other beer place or brew pubs that they would have offered like a stout, Guinness stout, if they don't want to make their own or they don't sell their own.
Well, that's true. And okay, you were saying on tap.
Yes.
In the bottle, they had a very extensive menu of
beers.
And I should have pointed that out, that they did have a nice selection, and they did have some other stouts, some other beers that you could order there. So that was a good touch, too.
It is a nice touch.
I mean, I can't find a criticism of it. The only criticism I have is they didn't wear the little Catholic schoolgirl outfits like the other brew pub we're going to. But but I don't think I'd want to do that to the waitresses or the waiters, God help us. But they're very knowledgeable about the beers. They're very helpful. And overall, it was an excellent experience. And my recommendation to that. So let's segue.
We had our off-site meeting, the corporate meeting.
Yeah.
And this occurred at McCormick & Schmick's in Irvine, California.
Mm-hmm.
And they are associated with Bayhawk Ales.
Which we kind of, did we figure out exactly what it was? They're two different companies.
It's a different company.
Sharing the same place.
I printed off a little bit from Bayhawk. It says, brewery history, Bayhawk Ales, Orange County's largest microbrewery. Began operation in late 1994. Haven't been around that long, 10 years. With our first beer being poured in February 95. We were a public corporation with over 1,300 local and out-of-state stockholders.
Interesting.
Bayhawk specializes in brewing house beers for many fine restaurants and taverns throughout California, Arizona, Nevada, and Hawaii, Texas, and Colorado. We just might be the greatest beer you never knew you drank.
Yeah, and they might be.
So they've got 10,000 barrels of beer per year, small labor-intensive 15-barrel brew house, which is on display at this McCormick & Schmidt.
Right.
I always enjoy looking at the equipment.
Yeah, but we were like we said, they're in the same building, but they are not part of McCormick & Schmidt.
Right, McCormick & Schmidt sells their beer along with other varieties.
But it was kind of a weird relationship, and this is where we had a little bit of issue, and you went so far as to try and get to the bottom of it and went to their door.
Yeah, they have a little double door outside.
Yeah, or they
so I've never seen
in.
Them brewing because they do that first thing in the morning. And then we went to their door, their office, I guess, and pounded on the door. Nobody answered. Because we were looking for their seasonal package.
Right.
They had a nice gift package.
Yeah, and the McCormick & Schmidt's wait staff there fell just a tad short of knowing what the hell was going on.
She didn't like beer.
She didn't like, that was the first question. We asked her, said, what beer would you recommend? She says, oh, I don't know. I don't like beer. And of course, we're thinking, why do you have a job here?
So let's talk about some of the beers we did try.
We tried
Beach Blonde Ale, which I wrote down as buttery.
Yep.
Honey Blonde Ale, Hefeweizen. Mm. We put buttery down on that one. And I need to, we're going to announce an interview with another guy soon, James. But I'm going to ask him what causes buttery flavors.
Right, right. So, we got a couple of people.
So we'll promote that in a little bit.
Right.
If I forget, we'll have to dub it in. They had a lager, Orange County Lager, Amber Ale, and a Pale Ale.
And note here about, we're reading off the sampler sheet. Two of the beers that they had, they scratched out and wrote something else in because they ran out.
And one was the Porter.
One was a Porter, so we were kind of bummed about that. But the thing about the beers that I thought was a little off-putting. I enjoyed the buttery kind of flavor. I don't know whether that was a flaw in the beer or not. But the beer started tasting the same. And the other thing was I kept getting this little musty taste. I got to ask Bayhawk Breweries, because I know it wasn't them and their beer, but I don't know whose responsibility it is to blow the lines. But I'm wondering if at McCormick & Schmidt's they aren't cleaning the lines.
I'm sure they have such high turnover that those lines are pretty well purged.
Well, I would hope so, but I was getting a little bit of must, and I wasn't getting a lot of differentiation on beers that I think we should have been able to tell the difference. Based on
I think they were purposefully bland.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be.
To meet the Budweiser crowd.
And, of course, we wanted to try their sampler. And it was not to be had. So a great big poster right smack in the middle of the restaurant with, we said, well, where is this and how do we buy it? And they said, oh, yeah, you got to go to the brewers themselves who were closed. So, don't put up a poster in there advertising a product if we can't buy it.
Not really a sampler. That was a gift pack.
The gift pack,
We did have the sampler.
Right. Okay. So it was a little bit off-putting. I mean, I guess, it was, of course, at the end of the day, than a Budweiser.
The gift pack had their seasonals.
Yeah.
And you get to look. They had a ton of awards, so.
Yeah, they did. And I saw them all over the place. So I want to give them another shot next time I'm there, next couple of months. I'm going to go by a little earlier and see if I can't get some straight from the source, kind of bypass this. I'm reserving judgment on it.
Let's talk about the food.
So we ate at McCormick & Schmidt's, a seafood restaurant, all kinds of seafood. And this is where they turned things around for us in a big way. We were trying to decide what to have. We were wanting something a little different. And we asked for the large combination of oysters. They serve a great variety of seafoods here, and they've got this huge list. They print the menu every day. So December...
It's a national chain. I'm sure you're going to be able to find it somewhere.
Yeah, they got to be all over the place. I don't see anything on here that tells where else they are, but I've seen them in other cities. So we did a selection of oysters. We had Fanny Bay, Sunset Beach, Luna, Hama Hama, Malpeak, and Chef's Creek oysters. They range from Canada to Washington, and one local one, Luna oysters. That was those little tiny oysters from Carlsbad, California, right down the street. So we, you know, they were served in a nice platter, chilled on a bed of rock salt, on natural. And now we're from the South, as maybe you've guessed that.
Well, I'm Californian, but yeah. I'm
yeah, he's
relocated.
That's right, relocated to the South. But we get a lot of Gulf oysters and Gulf shrimp here, and the traditional way of serving them is with a lump of horseradish, hot sauce, cocktail sauce, and crackers, like saltine crackers. So these were presented to us. They had a nice little dish of cocktail sauce with a sprinkling of horseradish on top and another little side of something. And we dipped into it and turned out it was vinegar.
Which, that's right. That's right.
Which apparently that's something that in other parts of the country they
And she did find us some oyster crackers.
Yeah. See, I asked her, I said, well, where are the crackers? She goes, oh, did you want crackers with us? So apparently, you know, being, you know, it was, luckily, I at least had the common sense to put my shoes on before I went in there. But I wasn't educated enough to know that apparently you don't eat saltine crackers with your oysters in California. So she went out to get crackers, and she comes back with these little tiny oyster crackers. It's like, okay, they're oysters,
soap, yeah.
Oyster crackers. That's but right. It's like, no, that's not quite it. But I was distracted by the little Catholic schoolgirl outfits.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you know, I could have been served cat food for all I know. I mean, the waitresses there.
Perky
in every sense of the word. And you got to remember, we're in Orange County, California. And so.
Good looking women aren't abnormal.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're not abnormal. So we've got all these very attractive waitresses running down, and apparently they're having a contest to see who can unbutton their shirt the most and wear the shortest little plaid skirt.
Yeah. Customer service was number one, except for our wait person.
Yeah.
We were sitting at a bar. That was probably our bad.
Yeah, I think that was it. But they were really, you know, good service, excellent service, and except for, of course, there was something else we asked her about, though. Oh, I don't like that either.
She didn't like oysters.
Yeah, either. She didn't like oysters either. So she was a no help for the beer
she didn't like the oysters.
So we had them, and
I thought the oysters were exceptional.
They were. They were very good. The worst one was pretty good.
We gobbled them really quick.
And I liked the Malpique oysters. I thought they were my favorite. They were from Prince Edward Island, Canada. And
I had no favorite. They were all good.
They were all good. They were all, you know, differed just a little bit, but they were all very good.
Yeah, different shapes and sizes.
But the menu here is huge. And you know, I never looked to see if they've got a couple of token chicken and steak dishes, but the seafood is the specialty there. And you had the Atlantic salmon baked with crab, shrimp, and brie cheese stuffing.
Excellent. And, I loved every biteful.
Yeah, and it looked wonderful. Very nice presentation. And I had the Pacific sea bass, which I know that there's all kinds of sea basses. I'm used to the Chilean sea bass. That's very thick, virtually no fish taste. This is a Pacific sea bass from Japan, cashew encrusted with a vanilla habanero rum butter sauce. It was very good. So I don't think we could have gone wrong with anything.
Then we had the berry basket for dessert.
Oh, yeah, the berry basket dessert was very nice. And so I think that was the shareholders' money well spent.
It was. Thank you, listeners and
right.
corporate sponsors
that's
at
right.
BigFoamyHead.com.
Yeah, so we enjoyed eating your profits. all right, well, let's take a break, and then we're going to hit another beer. And I've got another one, and I need to mention this Candy Cane, who we just played, and Doug Same, who we're about to play. They all the listeners, these two and one more I've got are from Texas Music Group. That's txmusicgroup.com. I mentioned these people before on previous shows. Excellent source for music. I encourage you to go and buy everything that they have. Doug Same, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, S-A-H-M, Reconsider Baby. Go. All right, we're back. That was Doug Same, Reconsider Baby. And apparently we talked a lot in the last
That was the 16 minutes.
Yeah, so we're going to suck it up and get a little more brief with our comments. So next.
Now, this place is a place that you call. It's your second home, basically.
It is. I love this place. This is another brew pub. We're going to talk about Newport Beach Brewing Company. And you got into town a day before me, and you visited.
Yes, I did.
My place. Newport Beach Brewing Company is on Newport Beach Boulevard, which is 55, turns into that in California. And it's a lovely place. It's down there by 26th Street.
Free internet connection.
Free internet connection. So I go there under the guise of doing business and sit there and do my work and enjoy several beverages while I'm there. They make great beer. They make great food. Many shows back, we interviewed their brewmaster, Kirk, and it's just a wonderful place. I really enjoy it, and to me, it kind of typifies a California type of lifestyle. Everybody who comes in there, it's very casual.
Mostly been to the beach and back.
Yeah,
and,
you know, yeah. And great food, excellent food. I don't know if you ate anything while you were there, but I can recommend their fish tacos.
Now, this time of year, they had the parade with the boats where they all had their Christmas lights on and going up and down.
Okay. So, well, I missed that one.
That's where the lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, that's right. And again, this is in Orange County, and so a little background on it. At the end of 1992, the idea of the second brewery in Orange County was born. After 6 months of searching for the perfect location, they found the old Delaney Seafood Market building in the historic Cannery Village. And that's where a couple of years later, they opened the Newport Beach Brewing Company. The Cannery Village, I know it's there, but I've never been there. It's like behind. This is like on the tail end of it, apparently. So I didn't know it was in the Cannery Village, but I knew the Cannery Village was there, so who knew? So they won a lot of awards. They brew a wide selection of carefully crafted beers on-site, pouring 5 to 7 selections at a time, and they rotate it out. They make some really good beers.
And again, they have all their equipment out in the open, their tax vessels, which I think is funny as hell.
You see everything right there.
Yeah.
And so
the mash tons, the brewing kettle, you know.
It's all there.
Fermentation cones and all that stuff.
Yeah. And they're very quick to, if you ask any questions, they'll say, oh, well, go talk to Kirk. Here's our brewmaster, and Kirk's there during the day. And they also offer bottled beers for people who maybe want something a little different. And I can recommend everything. I've had it all. It's all very good. And they also do the guest beers.
Yes, and I was very impressed with one of the guest beers. I got the sample. I didn't want to, you know, I was driving, so I could only have a few.
Yeah.
So I got the little tiny samplers. And I tried the Balboa Brown, the Bisbee's ESB, the Newport Beach Blonde, Newport Coast Steam, which is going to be a real hoppy steam beer.
Steam style,
Pelican Pale Ale. But the one I loved was a Winter Solstice.
And that was a guest beer, right?
Yeah, that was a guest beer. They had another guest beer, the Double Arrogant
Arrogant Double Bastard.
Yeah.
Which I'm an Arrogant Bastard fan, and I had the Arrogant Double Bastard, and it's like I had been worried previously about maybe I overhopped my Arrogant Bastard. Well, now I know. I actually made an Arrogant Double Bastard.
Okay.
It is a very hoppy, fierce beer, and nothing at all like the other beers.
The Winter Solstice was sweet.
Yeah.
And one of the things, another thing I want to discuss later on is I kind of get a little yeast taste from my beers lately, and it's a undesirable aftertaste. This one had a really nice sweet finish, so I believe they do that by adding dextrose or maltose or something to
Give the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of our questions for
James.
James from Basic Brewing Radio.
Let's go ahead and plug him right now.
Right.
He plugged the heck out of us. So I hope you guys are going to check him out. It's www.basicbrewing.com
/radio. Yeah.
And this last time, I listened to his podcast while I was on the airplane flying back. And then they mentioned that they were doing a video feed. So I went and checked the video feed. And I have to tell you, that was very interesting because you get to watch when they say that one beer is brown compared to the other. you can actually see it. So
I very much
enjoyed their video feed.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we want to get cameras in here.
Anyway, he has agreed to an interview with us.
Which we look forward to hearing from him.
And I love this guy's shows. He does some great interviews. Mm-hmm. He's done some interviews with guys.
Very
on
professional
hops
sounding.
And yeast and malts. Right. And
He covers the spectrum. And he takes you through it in a way that you can understand all this. And whereas we just kind of wander all over the place and talk around beer, as we've been accused, and freely admit to it.
Yeah, we'll open a beer and say, I like it.
Yeah.
And that'll be our review of the beer.
Right.
So.
And James he's focused on the art of it and wants to bring the basics to you, hence the name.
He's got a great website, and it seems to be a pretty active business, so go visit him.
Right. Support him, as we do. We link to him on BigFoamyHead.com and encourage
and
you to
listen. We will try to interview with him, and I want to ask him a lot of questions about mouthfeel and
so we'll
taste
get some answers,
the product, the end product. So.
All right. So Newport Beach Brewing Company, excellent food, excellent beer, no Catholic schoolgirl uniforms.
Yeah.
About the only mark against them. But I don't think I want to see Kirk the Brewmaster wearing a skirt. Maybe it's just me. So I popped another beer.
The thing about Newport Beach, you just go walk to the beach.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Either direction, the beach or the bay, you're smack in the middle of it. So we just popped open a Harpoon Winter Warmer.
I'm getting more spice.
And Harpoon is a we're going East Coast style now. They're in Boston, Mass., and this one is bottled under special agreement, Windsor, Vermont, and Utica, New York, where a lot of good beers come out of Utica. So we're trying the winter warmer, and what are you getting
out of this? What's the spice? It's definitely a strong spice. It's a Christmas spice.
Yeah. It's very nutmeg?
Could be.
It's got a little orange into it. Cloves.
Cloves, that's it.
We're getting some cloves in this beer. Very interesting beer. So, and it is a little warmer. And I've seen a couple of these beers advertised as warmers. And the unique thing about them is that it is a spiced beer. Man,
it's almost got a soda fizz to it.
Yeah, and it's got a definite clovey sort of finish. Very nice. I think we're enjoying this. Pretty
good.
Phone.
Okay, let's not extend this segment too long.
So we'll listen to another tune here, and this is from Syl Johnson. Now, Syl, I think I played one of his before. He, back in the day, was coming up at the same time Al Green was, and these two guys sound very, very much alike. I was playing him earlier, and my wife, who adores Al Green. And by the way, Al lives here in Memphis. He has a church, and we refer to him as the Reverend Al Green. We've been to his church, and he has one of these distinctive voices, gets into kind of a falsetto range. Well, Syl Johnson sings kind of along that line. It's like an early Al Green, but he gets kind of rocking. And Syl refers to himself, he says, "I'm not a blues man, I'm a soul man." So let's take a listen to Syl Johnson, Who's Still in Love.
Who's
Okay, that was Sil Johnson. So we're back, and
we have an in-studio guest.
Well, that's right, we do. We, on the previous show, we talked about gifts for Christmas, and at the top of the list was beer. And I've got a bunch of homebrews, as does Rick, that we're going to give to family and friends. And my little girl brought something home from the Girl Scouts.
A class project. Oh, Girl Scouts project.
Yeah, Girl Scouts project, and it's very cute. She took a bottle of root beer and glued some things onto it and made what looks like a little reindeer. And so, of course, I immediately saw an opportunity to corrupt all that is good and wholesome with the Girl Scouts. And I saw an opportunity to turn all that is good and wholesome with the Girl Scouts into something a little more sordid with beer. So I had all my home brews, which I didn't have any labels or anything on, and Rick had some, and he brought them over. And my little girl, Andy, is here, and she made what we call rain beer. And they're on. We're going to have some pictures on the website of the rain beer. And, Andy, you going to tell us how to make rain beer from any ordinary bottle of beer? I guess we could start this by saying that you could take any bottle of beer, and you want to take, if it's got a label on the neck of the bottle, soak that, rinse it off. So you can use any bottle of beer. You just don't need any kind of paper on the neck. If you've got homebrew, of course, they're already going to be in bottles.
I actually have some additional information about this. I heard on, I guess it was one of James Spencer's shows, that you soak the bottles. Just leave them soaking for days and days and days, and maybe some OxiClean or whatever.
Hmm?
And TSP would be another choice. But the labels will peel right off. And then boil them, and then the glue will rinse off with a washcloth.
Okay,
so
but we're talking.
I
about,
did that.
You're talking about empty bottles.
Yeah. To
I was bottles. Talking about like if somebody had gone and bought beer to give to somebody. This is just a nice little way to decorate. Okay.
Oh, right, right.
All right. So Andy, we got a picture on the website of the rain beer, and so tell us how you did it.
Well, first, I need to get the supplies, and we just bought ours at Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Just regular pipe cleaners,
mm-hmm.
Little googly eyes, and a red nose, and some bells and string.
Okay.
And
but it's not string; it's ribbon.
Yeah, ribbon.
Right. And little jingle bells.
Jingle bells.
And this is all available at Hobby Lobby's or
Walmart
at the back of Walmart, mm-hmm. or I guess you could go to any sewing center or something. The googly eyes she's talking about are the little glue on eyes, and we got tacky glue. Mm-hmm.
Tacky glue.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. And you can get all of that at a little craft store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you do?
Well, first you, with the pipe cleaners, you twist them around the cap of the beer or mm-hmm. root beer.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make it not so it's like not
like
really.
Antlers.
It's it's a little tiny bit under the cap. And you got to twist it once or twice.
Okay.
And then.
So then you got like two little wires sticking
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then you pick little pieces up. And if you have excess parts of pipe cleaners
mm-hmm.
or just cut up regular pipe cleaners and cut them mm-hmm. into little tiny pieces and you just twist them around the antlers.
Okay, and that makes the antlers. You twist the little pieces around the big pieces of wire that are sticking out, and that makes little antlers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you glue on?
Pretty much the eyes and nose. Just stick them at the top.
Glue them where they look like they should go.
Yeah. And then you string on the bell
mm-hmm.
with the ribbon.
Right.
And just tie that in the back of the head, and you got some rain beer.
That's right.
And once you get into production, about how many bottles per hour do you think you could do?
Yeah.
77.
No, okay. you may, I think about 8.
Hey.
That's how many I got, 8 or 9. But they're really cute, and they're on. We got pictures of this on the website and a picture of Andy hard at work making my rain beer. So it's something, you know, a big foamy head. We're not opposed to child labor.
Child labor laws.
That's right. They work cheap.
Yeah.
So so we made them some rain beer and that people will be receiving. So thank you, Andy, for telling us how to make rain beer. That was our Martha Stewart moment.
That's very cute.
That's right.
Well, we tried to bring a little arts and crafts.
That's
and
right.
Home economics to
the.
What? Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You got your. You might be a redneck joke.
Well, you might be a redneck if you let your 9-year-old daughter decorate your beer for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
All right,
thank
we might be rednecks, Dick.
It's very possible. Okay, so we've enjoyed our Harpoon Winter Warmer. We've done a couple of reviews of our places. I think have we covered it? We covered everybody on the Brew Pub. So we're winding up our Christmas show.
And we got a special beer for the last one.
Yeah, we have a very special beer that we're going to get into. This is from our friends at Rogue, who you've heard us mention before. And Rogue Breweries, they are in Oregon. They make excellent beers. You can find them pretty much everywhere. They're nationally distributed. But there's a special beer here that I have not seen everywhere. And this is Santa's Private Reserve Ale. And we saved this for last. And sure enough, Rogue's different. Previous beers that we've had, we've been in delighted by the different spices and things like that. Well, Rogue is, being a purist, this is indeed a special brew for them. There's no spices.
Not that they're mentioning, no.
No. And you were reading the ingredients and got a little awkward to read because there's so many of them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of numbers to it. So I'll just skip all the technical details. But it's got Great Western Harrington, Klages, Munich and Hugh Baird, Karastan, Crystal Malts, Chinook and Centennial Hops,
right.
Free Range Coastal Water, and Top Fermenting Pac-Man Yeast,
right,
which is pretty much an ingredient of all their beers.
That's the Rogue Special Yeast.
The Coastal Water and the Pac-Man Yeast.
Yeah.
And it says it's a reddish copper color with a roasty malt flavor and a hoppy, sprucey finish. And I was going to say citrus, but spruce.
And I can tell you what that is. That's the Chinook hops.
Oh, okay.
That is exactly what it is, because that's what Stone Brewers use in their Ruination, and really specifically their Arrogant Bastard. And that's what I put in mine, and it's like drinking a little bit of pine. And the spruce.
This is excellent. It's
very good.
It's very good. It's got a citrus nose, but it's bitter.
Yeah, it's got that finish, and that's kind of characteristic of the Chinook finish. But it's good stuff. Very good. It's something, I guess, you know, we had this is probably the most diverse group of beers we've had with the spices.
Yeah.
And so for Christmas beers, I guess we can say, you know, they come in all flavors, all sizes, all packages. They're all very different. And you can't go wrong picking up a Christmas beer. Look for something that says Christmas brew, winter warmer. Private Reserve, Winter Solstice. Yeah, just something that's a little interesting, because these are departures from your ordinary beer, and they're departures from your micro and craft beers, too.
Yeah, and if you can't find those, a good chocolate stout. Although,
yeah, absolutely.
We're kind of leaning away from Samuel Smith's because of their clear bottles.
Yeah, and that was a point that James brought up.
Craft Beer Radio,
or Craft Brew, I'm sorry, Craft Brew Radio. They brought up, and we enjoyed a warm-up beer of a Samuel Smith's stout.
Imperial stout, yeah.
Yeah. And it might have gone a little south on us.
Yeah, it could have a bit of that skunky flavor that they talk about.
And the reason for that is?
Well, hops get exposed to light.
And the reason they're getting exposed to light is because the Samuel Smith brewers put their stuff in clear bottles.
Right, which is a big no-no.
It is a big no-no, and you'd think somebody as old and established as Samuel Smith would know that, but I guess, this is just a guess, their product doesn't stay on the shelves long enough.
Right.
But still.
But if you can find a chocolate stout, get it, because it'll go well with your Christmas cookies and
fruitcakes
and whatever
it's
else.
It's definitely a good dessert beer. We love the chocolate stouts around here, but the clear bottles, be careful. Green bottles, be careful. Brown, you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've enjoyed our winter beers, and we've got one more musical guest that we're going to be talking to and hearing more from. Hopefully, we can get with him after the holidays. This is Joe Galea. I think this is the third show that we've. Had him on, and Joe has wrote to us at Big Foamy Head and has volunteered to to give us some CDs, consented to do an interview with us, and we're really looking forward to talking to him. Joe has a big voice. We started off with Candy Kane, who has a very large female voice. Joe has just this enormous voice. I get this kind of Jim Dandy, Black Oak, Arkansas, Greg Allman-ish kind of feel from Joe. And Joe just, I mean, he just wails. I can't say enough about how good he is.
And he's an Aussie, and they take their barbecue seriously down there.
He so. Is, and he sent us just the best email. You need to go to BigFoamyHead.com and read the email that he sent. We're going to get Joe on, and we'll probably burn all kinds of time and run up an enormous phone bill talking to Australia and interviewing Joe Galea. But I encourage you to visit his website. I believe it's joegaleaband.com. Go to Google, search for Joe Galea, G-A-L-E-A. I know his work is featured on cdbaby.com. And take a listen to Joe Galea. We're going to listen to Wash My Hands.
And to our secret admirer, keep sending them.
Oh, yeah. Them in. Okay, all right. We have to mention our secret admirer email. We encourage that sort of behavior. Please send photographs next time. Be sure to obscure your head, and we look forward to hearing from you. So let's take a listen to Joe Galea, Wash My Hands.
Baby. second rate, yeah. I gotta tell you that I get so mad. I wish I was like your other men. They walked away and washed their hands and left you, baby. They moved on down the line. All I wanted was a little love, girl, but you treat me so unkind. I things are bad, Lord, ain't no cure. I gotta tell you that I'm insecure. I wish I was like those other men. They walked away and washed their hands and left you, baby. They moved on down that line. I said they moved on, baby. I said they moved on. Yeah, they moved on, baby. They left you alone and moved on.
Galea, wash my hands. And obviously, we're in our cups. We've had a lot of good Christmas beer. We're celebrating the season. And
Dick's Apricot Beer came out very good.
Yeah. So to recap, we've had a lot of good food, a lot of good beer over this past year. And we've enjoyed bringing this to you. Hopefully, we're improving as we go along. Your comments, your criticisms, your musical suggestions, your photographs, your whatevers.
Recipes,
whatever you want to have. You know, we try and do this. We do this, of course, you know, at the end of the day as an excuse for us to sit in the basement and drink beer. But it's also to just kind of bring a little bit of what we're getting out of our enjoyment of finding new beers, better beers, and kind of bringing it to you, bringing a little bit of the Memphis culture, the barbecue, and to you as well. And hopefully you're getting a little something about out of it and some good music to go along with it.
And I hope you have a blessed holidays and drive
right.
safe if you're going somewhere.
Right.
Drink safely.
That's right. Always.
That's one of the taglines of
that's
one
right.
of the beers we
Rick's
have
official new tagline.
Drink safely.
Drink safely. So we hope you have a good holiday with you and yours, and we'll see you in the this next year when Rick goes on his Christmas pilgrimage to the promised land of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Brings us back some beers. And
I've got a nice story about New Glarus right here.
That's right.
Apparently they're doing very well.
So we look forward to seeing you next year, and enjoy your holidays, be responsible, and have a good time, and we'll see you next year.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays.